D-Mace Finnegan and Donick 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Finnegan here with you. The Tennessee Titans open the season in just 5 days on the road at Denver against the Broncos. Broncos -7.5. As I said earlier in the program, the Titans are no longer the biggest underdog of the weekend. That distinction belongs to the Dallas Cowboys, who open on the road on Thursday against the Eagles. The Cowboys are 8.5-point underdogs on the road against the Eagles. But we are going to continue doing something we started last week. One of these days, we're going to have to double up because we missed a day yesterday, of course, because of Labor Day. But we have a list of 10 Titans questions that we feel are critical to determining how successful this team can be this season. So Willie came up with the first five. He was kind enough to let me have a crack at it today. But Willie, quickly, let's recap the first five just so people can refresh their memories on the first half of the questions before we get to question number six.
I want to say that I said something incorrect earlier in the show. It was 2 years ago that D-Mace was overly optimistic about the Titans. He had an 11-6. Prediction, but it was not last year. I went back. No. I found the scrolls. I'm back. Everything's right in the universe now because I have my scrolls.
I'm glad the scrolls were identified.
Yes.
And they were found and identified. I'm glad.
D-May said 9-8. I said 8-9. Adam said 7-10, just for the record, last year. So all of us were overly optimistic.
But at least
D-May didn't say 11-6.
And it should be noted.
That was 2 years ago.
That I was
you
the closest.
You had the brain out, though, Willie.
Sorry about that.
Let the record show I was the closest to being right, despite being way off.
But you know what? You still was wrong.
Yeah, we just went back through last year's notes. None of us really knocked it out
of
the park.
Yeah, we were not Nostradamus here when it comes to predicting what the Titans are going to do.
Nope.
But I think
not even close.
I think that's why we do these questions. We talk about these things in the off season and the preseason, and then how it turns out can have a lot of surprises. So far, here are the five. Over or under 42.5 sacks allowed by the Titans and their offensive line, knowing that they have struggled mightily in this area. We all said over. 42.5 would be about league average for a season. We all think they will improve on the 54 they allowed last year and the 66 they allowed the year before. But we think it's a bridge too far to say under 42.5 with the rookie quarterback. Cam Ward, over or under 12.5 games played. All of us, not all of us. Adam said over, and he says he'll play all 17.
Sure did.
D-May says over. I go under simply because it's been a while since they've been able to keep a quarterback healthy. So that is what we're setting the bar for Cam Ward in his rookie year in terms of staying upright and completing his rookie season. That would be a victory if he can just stay out there and be productive enough and injury-free. That would be a checkbox. Oh, did I say checkbox? I didn't say check all the boxes.
Yeah,
oh,
so
wait,
you can
I say
that.
Ah,
you just said it.
Damn
it, Willie, you had it right the
violation.
First time.
Question three, Calvin Ridley, over or under 1,100 yards receiving in his second year as a Titan. He had just over 1,000 last year. All three of us agree on this one, that he will go over in that, largely because he's going to be targeted more than any of the Titans and probably by a wide margin. He'll be the featured part of the offense, but let's see how it plays off. Question four, more combined receiving yards. A, the youngsters, DK, Io Manor, Helm, and we even throw in Bryce Oliver to make it a little more intriguing. This is what I think the Titans would love to see. Is those youngsters jump up, and at the end of the year, that collection will say, wow, we've got something with the young quarterback. He's got chemistry with these young targets. Will it play out? We'll see. The other choices, B, the veteran placeholders, Tyler Lockett, Van Jefferson, and Chig Okonkwo. So we're not including Ridley in this discussion. Adam and D-Mace are taking the veterans. I am taking the youngsters. That's a key question, I think, in which direction this season goes in the big picture. And then finally, the availability. We got to get D-Mace's answer
yes,
on this.
Yes, we do.
Oh. I'm giving
L'Jarius Sneed and Tajay Spears. We know that those two, above all of the Titans, mm-hmm. have the reputation of not being able to stay healthy. Surprisingly, Legarius Sneed, or LJ, as Mike Borgonzi always likes to call him, he's been cleared. He's off the PUP. He's practicing, and they think he's probably going to suit up for game one. Mm-hmm. And then Tajay Spears, we know, is going to miss at least the first four games because he's on the injured reserve. So we set the over-under for those two combined at 17.5 games. So will they combine to at least play half of the games is what it comes down to.
I can't, I mean, because he's on IR right now.
Right, so Max is 13. So,
but still, you don't know when he half, you don't know if, when he does come back, is he going to be ready to play?
This
like
is the question.
They gotta you know, tune him up first to
get
him.
That's why I asked the questions. These are not supposed to be easy questions, D-Base.
17 games, 17.5 over or under. Woo! That's
Adam said over. I said under.
Why did you put it at 17?
This was
combined. I'm just saying combined. Yeah.
Well, because there were a lot of people that if we had asked this question before training camp, I think everybody would said under, because so many people were saying, I'm not even sure Snead's going to play again.
Yeah, okay.
There were a lot of loudmouths that did say, with a lot of skepticism, this guy may never play again.
I would say over, but not by much.
Well, that's, because
that caveat,
Spears
I would say
is another one that the high ankle sprain can linger.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sneed, we know it's just, you know, how's it going to go? It's a complete X factor.
And as I said,
D-Mace says over.
And as I said, Derek, I picked the over. I said, I'm not sure how effective they're going to be when they play, but I expect them to play enough to hit the over.
But you know, all of this, that means you expect LJ, Legarius Sneed, to play all games, really. That's what you're banking on, is Legarius to play at least 15 games.
Here's what I said, and Willie, correct me if I misremember. I set the expectation for Tajay Spears games at 10. I said he's going to end up playing 10 of the games. He's going to miss the first four. He's going to miss three others after he's eligible
with
to come
back. With
his
next injury.
Right. Sprinkle them in there. So I said 10. Which means I expect Sneed to play at least 8.
So you're saying even with already we know he has a high ankle sprain, and we know how high ankle sprains are, you're still banking on him playing more games than Legarius Sneed?
It basically comes down to this. If one of them can stay out there, then
yes,
he can carry the both of them. If they both play half the season, that's where it's right borderline.
Yes.
You need one of them to stay relatively healthy, knowing that Spears can play no more than 13.
Right.
I'm banking on a guy that's not on that is not on IR right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair
that's
enough.
What I'm doing.
So now it's time for question 6, and Willie was kind enough to let me have a crack at it. So there is a question that a lot of you have. We have it as well. Who in the hell is going to sack the quarterback for the Tennessee Titans? The Tennessee Titans had 32 sacks last season. Keep in mind, the Denver Broncos, Tennessee's week one opponent, had double that, 63, so close to double, virtually double. The Tennessee Titans had 32 sacks last season, which was tied for 29th in the NFL. The Tennessee Titans had 170 quarterback pressures last season, which was tied for 30th in the NFL. The team's leading sacker, Harold Landry, who had 9 of 32, out the door. By my rough math, the Tennessee Titans lost 14 sacks from last season between Harold Landry, Kenneth Murray, Jerome Baker, and Jack Gibbons. So nearly half, 14 of 32 sacks out the door. The Tennessee Titans brought in Draymond Jones, who I believe had 4 sacks last season, if I recall correctly. Arden Key is the team's leading returning sacker at 6.5 sacks. Jeffrey Simmons had 5. So here's my question for all of you and Willie and Derek at 615-737-1025, or phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I am skeptical that the Titans are going to get back to 32 sacks, considering what they lost and the fact that the Titans did not add any premier or even proven, I would say, pass rushers. So I am setting the over-under for sacks for the Titans at 32.5. They had 32 last season. I'm setting it at 32.5, which is basically, do you trust the Titans to get back to at least 32, or do you think they lost too many sacks and they may not even get back to 32. So I am setting the over-under for Titan sacks at 32.5. 615-737-1025. Derek, why don't you go first?
32.5. Over the last 5 years, they've averaged 36 sacks. I know they've lost Harold Landry. I know they lost a little bit more production on that outside. And I know they're ushering in guys that are not heavy sack guys. But what I'm banking on is this. I'm banking on those two big fellas to occupy space. I'm banking on Jeffrey Simmons to be the Jeffrey Simmons of 3 years ago. Was it 3 years ago? Why? Because it's a contract year. And I think he's as healthy as he has been, you know, in the last 2 years at the beginning of the season. So you're dealing with a healthy Jeffrey Simmons. With that being said, I think they know this defense a little bit better. You know, Denard Wilson knows what he has, and he knows now what positions he can put these players in, especially the ones that were on this defense last year. So I just think by that, this team will have more than, 32 sacks?
I said 32.5.
Yeah, their average has been 36 over the last 5 years. I'm going the over. Do I have to give a number? I just say over, under.
You can do either.
I would say they'll be right on the mark, 36 okay. sacks.
So you're taking the over.
Yeah, I'm taking the over.
Willie, I set the over-under at 32.5 because I'm skeptical the Titans can even get back to 32 sacks. Your thoughts?
I've tried to think about this in a couple of different ways. The emphasis that they're going for is clearly not necessarily to get the sacks. The trend in football right now is not as much to scheme your way with the edge rushers, although it certainly helps if you have those, right? But it's the push, collapse the pocket, get the guy off of his spot. And then the next level is if you can get them into passing downs to try to match up your best pass rusher in different spots. Like Myles Garrett, he won't always rush from the same spot. He'll find the weakest matchup, which sometimes was a guy named Dillard. So he didn't even have to move in that game. Remember the nightmare sack on the last play of the first half? Like, yes. Dude, can we block one? Just get the guy one time and kick the field goal. Nope. But that's – so I don't know that the objective is always to get the sacks. They're going to have to do it by committee. It's less than two per game. 32.5 is less than two per game.
You're trying to convince yourself to go over. You're trying.
You want to take the under.
No, he wanted to take the over. Willie wants to take the over so bad. He's trying to talk himself into taking over. That's only two a game.
I'm taking the over. I'm taking the over.
He's taking the over.
There you go.
32.5.
I'm with you. It's not by much, but only because that bar is very low. That I feel like they'll find a way. They may not get a single one this weekend too, because the one thing that the Broncos
do next is
they get rid of the ball. They don't take sacks. But the offensive lines in the AFC South are all suspect, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's six of your games. Like, if you can get one good game where you get five or six.
Willie's trying to talk himself into this. Willie, you went with over. I went with over.
It's in pen. It's in pen.
It's in the scrolls.
It's in
right
the scrolls. It's down as a scroll.
You are writing it in pen, but you really wish you were writing it in pencil, is the vibe I get.
Probably so.
Okay, 615-737.
Wait, what's yours, Adam? You said under?
You know what the beauty of sitting in this chair is? I can send this to break and think about it. So that's what I'm going to do.
What?
615.
You've created this negativity. Like, they're not going to get to, and you're really considering over?
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our sixth of 10 critical Titans questions. How many sacks do the Titans record in 2025? I have set the over-under at 32.5. The Titans had 32 sacks last season. They lost nearly half of those in the offseason. They're relying on Arden Key and Draymond Jones and Femi Oladejo to make up for that. How do you feel? Over-under on sacks, 32.5. Basically, can they get back to where they were last season? 615-737-1025. Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D. Mace, Vingan, and Dunnick, 1025 The Game. Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Question number six of our critical, Titans questions. How many sacks do the Titans record defensively? And I say that because there's a text or on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. We'll get to it in just a second. How many sacks do the Titans record this season? Over, under 32.5. The Titans had 32 sacks last season. Nearly half of them are out the door, led by Harold Landry with 9. So basically what I'm asking is, can the Titans defense get back to the number it had last season, which was among the worst in the NFL? Willie and Derek have both taken the over, although Willie,
I really considered going under, but I believe the improvement, they will improve in year two on the margins, just to get them over the top.
And I considered that. Of course I'm taking the under. I don't think it's going to be by a lot. I don't think it's going to be like 20 or 25. I think it'll be around 30. And I'm hopeful that Jeffrey Simmons and Tavondre Sweat will have more sacks than they did last season. But I just color me skeptical. So I will take the under. What about you? 615-737-1025. Here is the aforementioned texter. Tommy on our text line says, I say under. Cam gets rid of the ball. Levis was responsible for most sacks last year. I replied, this is for sacks by the Titans. The Titans defense. He says, oh, hell no, under 20.
Oh, wow.
We've already had the conversation about Ward and Levis. That was question one.
Yes.
So he's a little late to the party. But I'm glad he joined us.
Chris says, he said, oh, hell no, under 20, and I quote.
Wow.
Chris on our text line says, if we can get to 6 or 7 wins, then I think we get somewhat better in all phases of the game. I hope that would mean over 32.5 sacks as well. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, where our good friend Mark from Nashville has been waiting patiently. Thank you for calling, Mark. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing today, Adam, Willie, D-Mate?
We're doing well, Mark. Adam.
Yeah, you're kind of forgetting something, man.
What's that?
The number one. Crown me. We can't leave that out, Adam. You know, we can't.
Self-proclaimed number one caller.
Yeah, indeed, by far. Yeah. Hey, look, a couple of things. I'm gonna go with the under, Adam. I think 28, whatever, whatnot. I mean, I got to see more consistency out of Arden Key. Jimmy Oladeji, he's kind of raw. He's still trying to learn the game and whatever, whatnot. I don't know if you can expect much from him from that. You're right. They should have, you know, if you're going to get rid of Harold Landry, you should have brought a couple of other guys in there and tried to fill that position, the defensive end. I think that's going to cost them. Unless Denard Wilson can sit there, like Willie said, and move guys around and try to put them in a position to get more sacks or whatnot, I don't see that happening. As far as wins, I got them winning 4 games this year. And before I get through, Adam, Willie, your Mets, they're doing good. They can't lose to the Marlins, man. You can't do that, Willie. You can't come back and beat a team and then lose to the Marlins. And
I will say, though, you have been getting on Juan Soto, and Juan Soto has gone on a tear. He finally hit a home run with more than one guy on base. So you can't go to that one anymore, Mark. He hit a grand salami against D-Mace's Tigers yesterday.
And you know why, Willie? Because he got that text message that I sent him.
He did. Thank you for doing that, Mark. Keep sending him.
And look here. I don't know if I won the Nelly tickets. I don't need the Air Force Ones. I got some lime green shacks I can wear anyway to the concert. I don't need those Air Force Ones. And Chase McCade, I heard what you said last week. Get the contracts ready. Me and my manager, Mo Falker, we'll be that assigner. Put me on 3 to 7 a.m. every morning. Watch ratings go up, like I said last week.
It was 3 to 6. You're not going to take over an hour of Robbie and Rex.
Start with 3 to 6.
Now, 3 to 6.
Well, you know, somebody, you know, I understand that 3 to 6, I'll take the job. Here I am. Ratings will go up. I'm telling you, like I said last week, ching, ching, Cromwell. I'm going to put cash in that bank for y'all stockholders. But, hey, man, y'all have a game. Y'all have a good day. Adam, Willie, D-Mace, I know y'all love Mark calling y'all, man. I make
of
y'all
course.
Day.
Yes, you do.
I know.
Yes.
That's right. Mark from Nashville signing out. See you later.
Oh, Mark. But Mark is also taking the under.
Taking the under.
As is Skyler, who says, a word we can't say, we don't even know how much Tavondre Sweat is going to play to start the season.
I think he's expected to be available. I am very curious about
on Sunday.
How, I think he'll be out there. The question we have is, you know,
how much
he's missed a lot of practice. How quickly can he ramp up?
The altitude. You have to say
the the boogeyman.
Like it's a ghost.
Well, it's the combination of that plus missing all of the, those practices. I'm very concerned
about
that.
Who are you? Altitude. Boo.
Scott from Franklin says, what if you had 100 total sacks and tackles for loss combined? Then does it really matter how many you had, one or the other?
100?
What if you had 100 total sacks and tackles for loss combined? Then does it really matter how many you had, one or the other?
Well, the sacks is the tackle for loss, right?
It is. I guess tackles for loss
with a running back.
Yeah, because it's running back.
Right. I think the key is how many times can you get them into obvious passing situations? I think that's probably one of the reasons why the number was so low last year. A, they weren't great in creating those obvious passing situations. They were behind a lot, so the other team didn't have to throw that much. So if you can stay in games, that would be better. So I think that's one reason why they might do better. And then here's the other part. The Titans they gave them the short field, right? They weren't on the field that much. They weren't on there for that many plays because there was a lot of short fields. So there were some other factors that I think might be a little bit better this year. If the Titans offense isn't so bad, if they improve a little bit, I think that allows the defense maybe to get more sacks. And then turnovers is a big part of it too, right?
Yeah. When you're talking sacks versus tackles for loss, because, I mean, sacks, ultimately, they are a component of being tackled for a loss. But I think I know it's different. One, it's just something about the energy when you sack a quarterback as opposed to, you know, getting the running back down behind the line of scrimmage. And sacks usually are five-yard, situations where it goes from first and 10 to first and 5 or first and 7. When you get a tackle for a loss, typically it's probably about a yard or two. You're tackling a man line of scrimmage unless he's running outside run and he tried to stretch it and get a couple more yards or try to get around a defender. That's when it becomes, are you trying to reverse field? That's when it becomes the huge tackle for losses. But, I mean, there is a difference in a sense. Because I understand what the texture is saying. Does it matter really if you had 100 sacks or 100 tackles for losses? Yeah, I guess it doesn't. But in the flow of the game, how it energizes, how it energizes the game, sacks are a little bit better, I would tend, than say a tackle for loss. But that's just how I look at it. But I know coaches, defensive coaches, just get the guy on the ground behind the line of scrimmage and make it second in 11 or 12 as opposed to second and 7 or 6.
Ryan in Florida on our text line says, over, I think, 40. Okay,
ooh.
Ryan. Chris is on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Chris, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I'm going to have to go with the under, man, because, I don't think they really improved the defensive line. Now, they might get more from blitzing guys, but I mean, you remember last year there was a play against the Commanders where Daniels ran around for 11 seconds before he tossed it in the end zone for a touchdown. Our guys could not get off of their blocks. It was ridiculous.
How about the game-tying play by the Patriots on the last play of regulation?
He was running around for like 11 seconds, wasn't he? Like, yeah. He was back there for a while.
It was not good last year at all.
You know who's going to be in? As I'm thinking about this more and more, because you're figuring out how is Denard Wilson trying to set up his defense. He went out and got bigger guys, beefier guys, stronger guys across the board, which tells me, and this player may end up being sort of like that magic key in a sense. Not necessarily because I think he's just the greatest player in the world. He's a good player, I believe, but it's going to be Cedric Gray. Because of Cedric Gray's speed and him being able to, you know, go to sideline, and if he becomes a good blitzer in this defense, he's going to be the guy because of those big fellas in up front. They're able to occupy one, you know, two guys with both of those guys. They're able to occupy two to three guys. And then you have the beefier guys on the outside. I wonder how much they're going to allow Cedric Gray to blitz, because he does bring in that element of speed to the linebacker position that they need. So how effective is he going to be in blitz situations? Because if you look at Baltimore's defense, they blitz their middle linebackers. Why? Because they had speed to get in those gaps. So to me, he's going to be the critical guy. Not to say he's going to have, you know, 15 sacks, but if he learns to be a good blitzer, he can have a Pro Bowl type season in this type of defense the way they are building it.
Quickly, because we haven't mentioned this, it has been reported by many outlets that the Titans plan to sign linebacker Kazir White. I don't believe that's been made official. If it has, I apologize. White started all 17 games last season for the Arizona Cardinals. According to our friend Teron Davenport, White will start the season on the Titans practice squad. He played his first four seasons with the Chargers, set career highs last season with 2.5 sacks, 8 quarterback hits, 9 tackles for loss, 1 interception, 3 passes defended, and 1 fumble recovery. He has familiarity with Denard Wilson. White was in Philadelphia, according to Teron Davenport, when Wilson was the passing game coordinator / defensive backs coach. So another link there. But
and this, I think, brings up one element of, can the defense be better? But today we're talking about sacks, right? And that would be one way that defense could be better. Roster spots, let's just say 40 through 53. A lot of these guys they've picked up have been on defense, if you notice. There's certain guys that they have, since the start of training camp, they got the guy from the Vikings, right? They got this guy. They signed Shai Tuttle, right? There was a lot of guys. They took a couple of corners from Baltimore. How much better does that make the last few spots on your roster? We know that they lack high-end talent at the top of the roster. That's going to be a problem for the next couple of years, probably. But when you're last and you have the first crack at the waiver wire, the way they're doing it, you know, that's where it doesn't show up right away. But can Denard Wilson look at the little pieces he's got and say, okay, I got a little more to work with here than I had last year? That's a key question.
No, it is, because it's not about, and when I say this, I don't mean necessarily. It's in this situation, it's really not about the talent per se. It's about the individual having familiarity with the defense that I'm playing. And they may not be A1 starters or first-line guys, but they're good enough to play within the defense that I have, which it's all about, you know, knowing where you're supposed to be, you know, communicating and all these other things. Well, if that's the case, I want people that have proven that they can play within the scope of my defense. And if we communicate, they're used to the communication that is called for in this defense, because this is a hectic type of defense. But if you're communicating, it looks hectic to everybody else, but it's good with us. They were not communicating enough last year. Why? Because the defense was new to everybody just about. Now you have guys that are in the second year in this defense, and he's bringing over guys that have familiarity with the defense. So, yeah, you may not be a starter per se, but I can trust that if I call a play, you will be in position to make a play.
615-737-1025. We will continue to take your answers to my question. Question number 6 of our critical Titans questions as the season approaches, the regular season opener, I should say. Over-under on sacks made by the Titans. The Titans defense, not sacks allowed. 32.5. Over or under. 615-737-1025. We will take your thoughts on that. And we are not going to get out of here until I do a little tap dancing on Bill Belichick here and what happened yesterday. We're going to do that coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.
actually think it was the right call.
Do you?
Football move, and he fell on the fumble.
What is a football move?
Ask Clemson. Into the open field goes
that's a
battle.
Football move.
There's a football
that's
move
a football
right
move.
Into the end zone. A 28-yard run. And the Heels are getting the boot put right to their backside.
Sure did. Sure did. Now, I've never
they
seen
got
a,
smoked.
I've never seen a horned frog. Purple is not my color.
I love purple.
I was the biggest TCU fan in Nashville, Tennessee last night, watching TCU just kick the crap out of Carolina. What was the score? 48-14?
It wasn't even boring. That close.
Not only were those 48 points the most that North Carolina has ever allowed in a season opener, those 48 points are also the most points Bill Belichick has ever allowed as a head coach, period. Period. And I loved every second of it, except for the opening drive. That got me a little worried.
But
like,
didn't that make it nicer, though? Because it looked like everyone was like, oh, here they come, right down the field. This
coach
is unbelievable.
Belichick. He knows what he's doing.
They Michael were showing Jordan's everybody there. in their suite.
Yeah, Michael Jordan was there.
They were going crazy.
Lawrence Taylor was there.
They went like a hot knife through butter on
Randy
their first
Moss
shot.
Randy Moss was there. Everybody was there.
Mia Hamm was there. I think Eric Church was there. All of the Carolina dignitaries were there. And they all watched Bill Belichick get his ass kicked. And I loved it. And I just hope that now we can go back to the way things were. Where nobody gives a crap about North Carolina football, okay? I'm not going to get into the whole Brady Belichick thing. That's a whole separate conversation. But we've been hearing about Chapel Bill for the past 7 or 8 months, and I'm so glad that on national television, all alone, no other games against it, Carolina, it doesn't matter what sport it is, basketball, especially basketball, football, tiddlywinks, I don't care. If Carolina gets its ass kicked, I love it. So I was loving it last night. Let's go to Dylan in Antioch on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Dylan, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Just real quick, I wanted to say, you know, what makes the Titans' defense intriguing under Denard Wilson, it's really his layered pass rush. So it's not just Simmons and Sweat collapsing the pocket. You got the corners, the safeties, everybody being schemed up as a blitzer to, you know, make the quarterback adjust. So I really think the new waiver wire additions, especially Shy Tuttle, I mean, just keeping everybody fresh, Womack, Armour Davis, that's going to really be the difference in pushing these guys with over 32 sacks this season. I'm thinking probably close in the early 40s. I'm saying 42, 43 sacks this year. Looking forward to it, guys. Tighten up.
Thanks, Dylan.
See, I think Dylan, and this is what I was talking about, Willie and Adam, when talk about the free agents that they brought in that Denard Wilson has familiarity with, it's because of the way he chooses to blitz. And, you know, Dylan just said the layered blitz. Well, if you're going to do that, you got to have people communicating. You know, the back end got to communicate with the guys up front or the backers. And if you don't have that, you can't do some of the things that you want to do. Now you've brought people in that are used to hearing that communication and know how to go out in the game and make that happen. So they may not be, again, they may not be extraordinarily better physically, but because they're able to communicate within the defense, they know it, they understand it, it may end up, you know, being better for them, because then if we're communicating, I can get those sacks that we were not getting last year because everybody knows what they're doing.
Let's go back to last night. I'm just curious for your guys' opinions on Bill Belichick, right? And I know that Carolina had a ton of turnover on the roster.
Similar, 70 new players.
Right, similar to what happened with Deion Sanders when he arrived in Colorado. And
or you could even say Vanderbilt last year. It can go it's a complete wild card, right?
But I right before the game started, I believe it was Desmond Howard, Pat McAfee, Nick Saban, and Teddy Bruschi. And Bruschi, Saban, and McAfee were just slobbering all over Bill Belichick. He's the greatest coach ever. He's my friend. He's going to win. He looks so comfortable on the sideline in his nasty sweatshirt, all of that stuff, right? And then Desmond Howard It is Desmond Howard, right?
Yes.
Okay. Uh-huh. Desmond Howard was like, TCU's a pretty good team. And Sonny Dykes and his team, they've been through this. Like, this isn't new to them. Like, they're an experienced team. I'm picking TCU. And boy, was he right. But I'm just curious about your opinion of Bill Belichick in the college game. It's still so strange to me. And we're not even going to get into the girlfriend thing. I'm not even talking about that. By the way, what time do you think she left the game last night? Do you think she stayed for the whole thing?
Well, all I know is some of the memes that were popping around.
They've been killing it.
It was entertaining.
Yes.
I don't know why, but it was one of those games. I guess I know why. It's just human nature, right?
Yes.
It's Michael Jackson song.
Mm-hmm.
Great Michael Jackson song.
But it was like you had to keep watching just to see how crazy or bad it was going to get. And like some of the comically bad. Like the Telegraph's pick six and the scoop and score with the fumble just bounced right to the guy. Three or four, you know, Kirk Herbstreit, like, hey, this is a big drive. They got to get a stop. He's gone. 75-yard drive.
Kind of like that clip
and
we played.
That was a separate one that we just played. Like, hey, what's a football move? Oh, here's a football move. A guy getting untouched. There's nobody within 5 yards. It was that bad. It was like a nightmare. But all that being said, I do think that they'll get better, right? Let's not judge them by the first game.
Here were two of my favorite parts of the broadcast. I believe at one point, Kirk Herbstreit put a headset on his dog.
Mm-hmm.
That's how bad the game was getting. And then at one point, they put a graphic on the screen telling you what time Carolina's quarterback had his most recent completion.
Yeah,
8:12 Eastern, and I believe it was like 2 hours later.
And they were emptying the barrels on all of the blowout material, which they clearly were running out of. In the first half, it was so tough. That's a tough broadcast to do right there.
But do you think it's going to work for Bill Belichick at North Carolina? Because it feels, Derek, like we know this. Bill Belichick did not get hired in the NFL. He came close to, I believe, the Atlanta Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
But if I recall the reports correctly, I don't think the Falcons were comfortable handing him as much control as he wanted, which he did in New England for a long time. But like, I'm not convinced Bill Belichick is going to coach in the NFL again. Frankly, he doesn't need to coach anymore. Just go off and be with your child bride and enjoy life on the beach and doing yoga and all that weird stuff you were doing on Instagram with your girlfriend. But I feel like for him, this has to work. Like, if it doesn't work, he's going to have an identity crisis.
Well, it has to work from the standpoint. If this doesn't work, he's never getting back into the NFL. This, I'm sure, in his mind, because the way they sort of orchestrated this whole thing and his son, you know, being, I believe he's the predecessor if he does leave after 1 year, something like that. This was all set up for him to leave after 1 year. He felt, in his mind, he could do enough in North Carolina to show people he still can get it done. And somebody would be desperate enough, or somebody would think, okay, we're getting old Bill Belichick, and we'll be all right. We got us a quarterback. We'll be all right. I think Bill will eventually this year. I think they'll be a better team than what they showed yesterday. I do believe that. But he's going to find it hard, because if he wants this job for more than a year, he's going to find it. I don't know how well he's going to be able to adapt to NIL and all of this other stuff. Because I understand you were getting paid in the pros, so he's used to sort of the payments and guys getting salaries. I get that. But it's different in college. It's still different in college, because in the pros, you ain't got to deal with parents. You don't. College, you got to deal with parents. And that could be a whole thing in itself. I think he'll find his footing. I don't think they will be, you know, some juggernaut. I think they'll end up being an average team this year, and they'll be an average team probably next year.
Will they have 70 new players again next year?
The Tar Heels only have one ranked opponent on their schedule. They play host to Clemson on October 4th. That's the only ranked opponent they play all season.
And that's why I said they're going to end up being an average team. People are not going to talk a lot about him because he's not winning or not, but it ain't going to be enough. He's not going to do enough losing for them to talk about him a lot either.
But they're on national television like every week. Jonathan Hutton mentioned that with us last week. So even if they're bad,
they'll flex him out. They'll put him on a time where ain't nobody paying attention.
Yeah, but I
with
think
with other high profile.
But for the
games.
Reasons we just said, the intrigue. Even if they're getting thumped, people are going to be interested because some people don't want him to do well. They want to see him flop. And Adam's pointing. It's like,
I'm going to hate watch every game.
It would be best for Belichick if whatever games they got scheduled, that there's at least two marquee games at that same time. So if he's doing bad, nobody really paying attention to it.
Maybe not the standalone Monday night windows anymore.
I'm curious about two things. Number one, does he find that the college athlete just can't comprehend football and what he's trying to teach at the level that they need to for him to do what he's done well over the course of his career, or his son for that matter? Do they just find the college, this worked here in the pros, but I had guys who understood football on a deeper level? Mm-hmm. I wonder about that. And then the other part is the talent evaluation, right? He was given everything. He was given all the resources. Go buy who you need to buy. Hey, we got 70 new guys. But who was the guy? One of the experts who is a good writer. Landers? Who's the guy? But he made the comment that only two of the players that he has right now are projected to get drafted. Now, that could be there's a lot of people not eligible to get drafted yet. But I think about what Vanderbilt did with their approach to getting a new roster, which is what they did in football and basketball last year. They turned over everything. Vanderbilt's football team had like 50-something new players. Mm. Not 70, but a lot. But they didn't get a lot of big money guys. They got a lot of guys that were better than people realized and were good fits. And I wonder, as a talent evaluator, did Bill Belichick maybe go for too many good big fish or throw too much money at guys who were maybe not the best plays? Because it's a fine art, as we're finding out. It can go really, really good or really, really bad when you come in with a brand new team. We've seen some brand new teams do really well. We've also seen some brand new teams not mesh very well, and that was certainly the case in the first game.
Andrew from Dover says, that score started getting as wide as the age gap. That's not the first time I've heard that joke, but it's still pretty funny to me.
He's going to figure out, this season and potentially next season, that the talent level, and I'm sure he's already figured it out as far as, how is he going to be able to go out and get those five-star guys? Because when you think of North Carolina, you don't think football. You don't.
Right.
So you got
to
do.
He's probably not going to beat other schools to get the five-star guys.
Just like what Deion Sanders did out in Colorado. When you thought about Colorado, you just thought about bad teams.
But North Carolina.
Are they still playing? That's what you thought.
Was supposed to be the 33rd NFL team. Remember that?
Well, that's just because they had a bunch of pro individuals on
Michael
the coaching
Lombardi,
staff.
Michael Lombardi, is the one who coined that phrase.
And all this stuff, maybe they shouldn't be the 33rd team. Just be a college team, okay? And maybe you'll do better, all right? But he's got to figure out a way, like Deion did. How do you infuse so much energy and excitement to get those guys to want to come visit your campus?
Have you met Bill Belichick? Energy
and he's not going to do
excitement?
It. And he's not going to be able to do it. That's what I'm saying.
Has anyone ever used those terms to describe Bill Belichick in any walk of life?
No.
Hey,
and that's why it's going to be a struggle for North Carolina,
I think. I am here for the train wreck. I'm just telling you, I loved that last night. But that'll do it for us today. We will be back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. We will continue our breakdown of the Titans Week 1 matchup against the Broncos. Also, Week 2 of Silly Underdog Picks at 5:20. We all went 0-for. So we're all looking for our first wins. But that's tomorrow. We'll see you at 3 o'clock.
Be love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful Tuesday. I love you. We love you. Peace.